TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Badlands podcast on the Chairshot Radio Network, the only podcast that is 100% chiseled. I am Mags, and with me, as always, the rain counter himself, Mr. Paul Toller. Paul, how are you today? Looking dapper in your suit. Well, shirt, should I say.
Yeah, well, I'm not making an effort for you or foul, unfortunately. I'm just constantly in a rush this week.
Yeah,
I haven't even had a chance to get into my casuals.
It's been a hectic week for me as well, yeah.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Been getting some more guests lined up, so I'll let you know that very, very soon. But I'm more excited for this episode. Oh, the research. What a great topic this was, and what a great guest we've got to wax lyrical about this topic. So you've mentioned him already, so we might as well introduce the guy. He's the only original. He's the Foul original. Foul, how are you today?
I am. What an intro! Thanks so much, guys. I'm very well. I'm very well. This is, as you said, fantastic topic. Like, oh my god, so much, and it's going to be such fun to do it on here. Thanks so very much for having me.
Absolutely not a problem.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Now, normally what we do now is ask for your Mount Rushmore of the Greatest Wrestlers, but seeing as you were included in the very first episode of Badlands, you've already voted. So we've come up with a little idea, seeing as for context, we're recording just after WWE have completed their draft, and we thought we'd do a little mini draft of our own. But instead of being WWE stars, we're going for AEW and NXT stars. And because this is a Mount Rushmore show, you get four picks only. So the simple rules: four single wrestlers, no tag teams, no factions. We'll start with Foul, then Paul, then me, until we've all got four wrestlers. How does that sound, guys?
Really cool. Really cool. Love this idea.
So, Foul, take the first pick.
Okay. So my first pick, because he's the guy that got me into New Japan, really. He got me into a lot of the alternative scene for wrestling. It's Mr. Kenny Omega. And I would draft him to NXT.
Very, very interesting. He was definitely on my list. He wasn't my first pick. Paul, does that affect your choices?
Yes. Yes, that's my choices. He was my number one pick.
So, who's your number two pick then, Paul?
Wow.
Who's been promoted to the top spot?
Just because hopefully I'll throw a spanner in your works, I'm just going to go for the GOAT, Chris Jericho.
The absolute arsehole.
I don't even want him.
He was not actually my first pick. I mean, he was my second pick. Oh. But yeah, that's a shitty trick. You don't even want him. Pick somebody else then.
No.
So
I'd be a disruptive force.
Yeah, you're very cantankerous today.
No, man. Like, for context as well, I ordered an Uber Eats just now, and I'm not showing my cam to everyone because I'm like, yeah, it's all messy around here. But yeah, hilariousness.
He's got whooper sauce all over his chin.
Dude, I got big up sauce everywhere. Yeah, absolutely everywhere. I didn't wear a bib.
What's big up sauce?
Oh, it's their brand. As I said, just beforehand, I ordered this burger called the Double Whooper. Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. And it comes with this thing called Big Up Sauce. It's their, brand of burger sauce. And they just gave me a bunch of them in tubes, like Froobs. And I'm just going to eat them. So that's what I had just before this. I'm literally, I got burger sauce all over me. And,
That's brilliant. To round out this first round of draft picks, I'm going to go with my first pick. Luckily, none of you two picked it. I'm going with Adam Cole, baby.
Mm.
Great pick.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Back to you, Fal, for round two.
Okay. So, again, the way that I kind of pick mine is I'm looking at building four people that could hold a whole promotion. So first I went with Kenny Omega. Second, I would probably, even though we can't do tag teams, I'd look for a tag team specialist, and I'd say Cesaro.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. He didn't make my list at all. So yeah, very, very, very decent pick. Paul, your second pick.
I'm going to go for someone who can give me a real competitive, realistic edge. I'm going to go for Shayna Baszler.
Oh, you absolute tosser again.
Yes.
She was actually my fourth pick.
I genuinely wanted her. I wasn't being a bastard that time.
Well, that was very poignant that you said that, because my third pick is actually the bastard himself, Pac. So I'll take in Pac for technically my second pick, even though he was my third choice.
Good pick.
Back to Fal.
Nice, nice, nice. Okay. So as I said, we've got Kenny Omega. I'm building this brand. We've got Kenny Omega. We've got Cesaro, because he can work tag teams with anyone. That's my inkling. So third, I would probably put in, because I don't want to not have a women's division, but at the same time, I think that it would be cool to have some female mixed match tag situations. So with that being said, I've kind of gone around the houses. At number three, I would bring in, obviously you've taken Shayna, so that was one of my picks. Thank you very much, Paul. But I'm thinking, I had two backup spots. I would actually, right now, looking at her, I would say, because the thing is, it's it will affect all my other picks, and having just four, it's hard. It's hard, guys.
I've literally got a list of about 20 names.
I know, but it's I have my perfect roster. So, okay. So, at third, I would put in, I'd put in Jordynne Grace.
Mm.
And that's why I was thinking about it, because I think, again, she can work in the tag team with Cesaro. I think there's a lot of expansion there.
Jordynne Grace. I'm a pump. Good pick. Paul, your third pick. Let's see which one of mine you steal again.
I'm going to fly the flag this time and take Pete Dunne.
Oh, Pete Dunne was again on my list, but he's quite low down. He was one of the reserves. Now, I've got two that I definitely, definitely want, but which one do I want to take now as a banker? I'm going to go with who I think is probably the low-key MVP of 2019. I'm going to go with Roderick Strong.
Oh, very nice. I'm a big fan of Roddy. Nice.
Yeah, I haven't seen him have a bad match in so long.
Yeah, I think that Roderick Strong, I remember seeing him in TNA and when he was Messiah of the Backbreaker and stuff, and he's grown so much. He's so good. He's so freaking good.
Yeah. So buttery smooth.
Mm, Yeah, and like, and he works so well with the Undisputed Era at the moment. Like, I couldn't have seen how he would have progressed in the WWE, but as part of that faction, like, and as part of himself as well, he really carries himself and he carries the Undisputed Era very, very well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, Fowl, your last pick of all the wrestlers, who is your last pick?
So again, I'm thinking about the brand. I'm thinking about catering to all audiences, taking something that Cody Rhodes has recently quoted, the buffet of wrestling. So I will have a wrestler who could work both ways. And that man is the Velveteen Dream.
Ooh, very good pick. Again, another one who was on my list. Quite a lot of them though. But yeah, very good pick. Paul, who's your final pick? It's probably going to be the one that I've got left. Or the one that I want anyway.
Fowl just took another one of my picks.
Yes.
I'm going to go... I think he's got... Someone who I think has got an amazing future, I think. But I think he made the wrong call in going to AEW. Because I think he's such a WWE guy. It's unreal. It's Hangman Page.
Paul, you're barred from the show. Because that was my other guy. You've literally picked three of my top four. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's got a WWE champion written all over him. Yeah, what an absolute stud. Great pick. So, to round it off, I can't have Hangman, I can't have Shayna Baszler, Pete Dunne's gone. So I'm going right down my list now. I've got a couple of tricks under my sleeve. I'm going to go with Dominik Dijakovic.
Mm. Nice.
Just recently got a US North American title shot as well after the draw with Keith Lee. So, yeah, I think he's got a bright future as that guy, especially in NXT.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know Dominik Dijak?
Dominik Dijak, I would have thought you were talking about a tennis player.
Is he
drafting a tennis player?
Wait, didn't Dominik Dijak host Games Master? No, that's Diamond, isn't it? That's Diamond.
Well, I think there were four. There were some really good picks. Fowl's gone with Kenny Omega, Cesaro, Jordan Grace, and the Velveteen Dream. Paul, Stoll, Chris Jericho, Stoll, Shayna Baszler, Stoll, Pete Dunne, and Stoll, Hangman Page. And I got left with Adam Cole, Pac, Roderick Strong, and Dominik Dijakovic. So I'm definitely the C team out of them three, I think.
I just went for the WWE approach of signing everybody anyone else wants.
Yeah. They're doing it with that, is she called Maria Manic, who's literally just signed for Ring of Honor. And then I think she only signed in June, and now WWE are trying to sign her as well. So they're absolutely after anybody. Anybody with any name value, WWE are trying to sign them up.
I bet there's people in our performance center we've long forgotten about.
Yeah,
I bet there's names in there. Shit, I wonder what I'm doing.
Yeah, but there'll be like someone in there that's been in there for like 6 years, and it will be like the Arnold story. You know, like that montage at the beginning of Arnold Conan the Barbarian, when he's just like taking the wheel and he's going around with the wheel, and there'll be someone in there that will be forgotten about. Like, have you seen Adam Rose recently? Oh my God, Adam Rose! Like. He's been in the performance center, just like going around the wheel 6 years straight, and then he's like, "Oh, sunlight! Oh, I will have a dark match somewhere."
Yeah, either that, or there'll be someone who looks like Forrest Gump after he's run across America four or five times with a big, massive beard, and you just like won't recognize who they are.
It's funny you mention. Have you seen Adam Rose recently?
Yeah, like damn. He is hench. Like to use the parlance. Like he's really, really like, I don't understand. He's cultivated a lot of mass.
Good on him.
Looking good.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Right, guys. Today's topic, like we've alluded to, this was absolutely a brilliant topic. One of my favorite ones that we've come up with. It is the Mount Rushmore of wrestling road stories. So stories about the wrestlers outside the ring, on the way to and from shows, and the shenanigans that they get up to. Fowl, let's start off. What's the first story on your Mount Rushmore?
Okay, so obviously there's a story that any of us could say right now, and it would pretty much be like the story. So I'm not going to do that. Obviously, that would be a terrible airplane incident, but I won't mention that yet. I've got a few more. Now, I think this one is amazing. I think this one is just absolutely amazing. And it's Vince McMahon teaching Kelly Kelly how to strip. I think it's absolutely fantastic for just the visual, for just the in your mind, like how it plays out. Like, and yeah, it put like WWE ECW into a new light in my mind. Like the amount of involvement Vince obviously had in that show. Literally, like he's been haunting my dreams for years and I didn't even
It's concerning how Vince McMahon knows the intricacy of stripping.
Yeah, like I don't understand. Is that because he's more of a player manager? Like, because like obviously I understand he's on air talent and he's behind the scenes, but that's like a player manager kind of role. Like, but I just imagine him having to go to strip clubs and just watch and sit there and just like analyze the moves and then come back and be like, okay, Kelly, this is how you do it. Would it be that it would just be his theme tune over and over again? You have to shake it at hell.
Wow.
Maybe he used to do it for Linda when she was locked in.
Which is in the fugue state. When she's in the fugue state, he's just stripping all the time.
Wow, what a great story. Yeah. I read that one a couple of days ago, and it absolutely made me just howl in laughter. Paul, your turn to go first, I believe, sir.
I don't know many road stories at all, so it has been really interesting reading these. And I wish I hadn't had such a busy week so I could have read so many more. But this one just tickled me for... I'm sure everyone already knows it, but it tickled me because I'd never heard it. And it's just hilarious like how this came about. And it's the fact that Undertaker and... Paul Bearer were driving to, you know, between shows as they do. Paul Bearer really needed a piss. And they pulled into a fuel station, and apparently in America you have to fuel up before you can have the key to the bathroom, which feels quite like that feels quite harsh in itself. So he gets out and obviously he fills up, but he runs out of time and he pisses himself. So I don't even know how a grown man gets into that state in the first place. But then to get his own back, he slices up cucumbers, puts them in Undertaker's hat and gloves. Because the Undertaker, big, mean Mark Calloway, fears cucumbers so much, sliced cucumbers, that upon seeing them or touching them, he froze up. And he threw up all over his hat. And then Owen Hart catches wind of this. And from then on, whenever Owen Hart and Undertaker have a match, Owen Hart is stashing away slices of cucumber in his singlet, trying to get him to break kayfabe during matches by producing the cucumber and trying to get him.
That's amazing.
How do you get a fear of cucumber?
You know what? Yeah. You know, obviously, recently Undertaker has been spotted at Nando's. Like, I thought of that straight away.
Yeah,
No salad for this man. Salad for this man.
Undertaker creeping up to the salad bar.
Undertaker can't have a kebab. Like, he can't have a kebab.
Wow, that's a brilliant story. And it's definitely staying on just for the sheer fact that 7 foot tall Undertaker is scared of cucumbers. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, Foul, back to you for your second pick on your Mount Rushmore.
So this is a major shout out to a member of the wrestling community, Mr. Clowndelic Bill, now he's calling himself, but awesome dude, like that I had the pleasure of hanging out with Twitter on Twitter with for a long, long time. And this story is regarding the character that he plays. Like, it's great. And it's this guy called Klondike Bill. And Klondike Bill is very notorious for apparently having been with a lot of women. What that reason apparently was because he wasn't very picky. That's fine. That's his deal. But I don't know how far I can go with this story. There's a family.
we'll definitely put a disclaimer on because if it's the story I think it is, it's definitely not family friendly.
Yeah. So Mr. Klondike Bill, he was with a lady and he didn't have any Bluetooth, and he used a pork sword other than his own to pleasure the lady. Apparently, it didn't go too well. The next morning, they spoke about what was done with the pork sword. And apparently, him and the lady, they split it in half and had it with eggs. and I look at Klondike Bill's face. I just look into the eyes of a soul. So different than mine. Like such beauty in its simplicity. Buffalo is being used. And That's not my story. The story of Klondike Bill. And not Klondike Bill on Twitter, but an actual person in WCW called Klondike Bill.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
He was absolutely notorious for being quite the sexual deviant. Apparently, he used to like his women the smellier the better.
Like cheese.
Like a fine cheese, probably with a little bit of tuna.
I was going to say blue bit, but I don't. Make sure you save searches on people. Make sure you save searches on if you search for that.
Right. For my first pick, like I said, I have got plenty to go at here. So many great stories. And I think I'm going to go with Vince McMahon gets drunk and takes bumps in a strip club.
Vince and stripping again.
Right, here we go. The government was zeroing in on Vince over the steroid scandal. So after recording an episode of Tuesday Night in Texas, a lot of the boys figured that this would be their last time to have a party. So they went out and absolutely got mortal, properly mortal. And Vince wanted to have one last party with the boys, decided he would tag along. So they went to a local strip club in San Antonio. So Vince went with Hulk Hogan, and Hulk was he was in contract negotiation with WWF at the time. So Vince wanted to like basically suck up to him. So whatever Hulk said basically went. So Vince arrived at this club about midnight and was already pretty paralytic. Pat Patterson had told him it was not a good idea to go. Sergeant Slaughter was there, and he was given the job of making sure Vince was okay. So at the strip club were Hogan, Beefcake, Kurt Hennig, Big Boss Man, Hercules, The Rockers, Brett and Owen Hart, and the Legion of Doom. So Vince came in, started drinking, was getting more and more wasted, and then he found himself on the end of everybody's finishing move. As the night progressed, he got more and more drunk, and a lot of the wrestlers used the word shit-faced to describe his state. Hogan started riling up the Road Warriors to give Vince their finisher, which was the Doomsday Device. For people who don't know what the Doomsday Device is, it's where one of the Road Warriors lift up a wrestler on their shoulders and the other one comes, does a big mean clothesline off the top rope and the wrestler falls to the ground. So Hogan gives Animal the thumbs up. Animal picks up Vince and boom, off the bar, there's a massive clothesline from Hawk, which basically almost knocked Vince clean out. But luckily, Hogan and Beefcake were there just in time to catch him.
I'm sorry. It's like literally a sitcom moment. It sounds like a music video. This is like a rock and wrestling music video that happened. They just didn't realise they were filming it.
So then after that, it didn't end there. Oh, no. Jim the Anvil Nardot said to Vince, I don't think you've got the balls to take our finishing move. So Vince is like, go for it. Let's do it. So Nardot picked up Vince in a bear hug and Bret Hart did the clothesline and slammed him down, which legitimately gave Vince McMahon a concussion.
It was Hogan this time.
Exactly. It gets better. We're nowhere near finished, lads. We're nowhere near finished.
So he was doing beefcake at the bar.
So fan fiction.
According to Marty Jannetty, Bret then put Vince in the sharpshooter in the middle of the bar. And at this point, the police were called. Nobody got arrested, but basically the bar had to empty. So Vince went back to a hotel room. But he didn't go back to his own hotel room. He went back to Ric Flair's hotel room. Slamming on the door, basically got Ric Flair's key so he could get in the room. Ric was absolutely paralytic again, still messing about. He took more finishing moves, including Davey Boy Smith's running power slam. And to finish the night off, Hercules and Kurt Hennig pissed on Ric Flair's bed. So ended the tale of Vince's last night out with the boys before getting arrested over the steroid scandal.
What I love is how Hennig is so featured in so many of the Road stories.
He
didn't even get involved in any of that. At the end, he was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to give him a finish. Let's piss on his bed. Let's piss on Ric Flair's bed while everything else is going on with Vince. Let's go to... They're like, no one will notice.
It's the same with Owen Hart. He seems to be in a lot of the stories as well.
Yeah, they're just like classic rimmers. They were just shenanigans, classic shenanigans on the road. They're like, It's fine. It's fine. We'll give you our finish moves. We'll piss on your bed. It's absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. It's the 80s. Everyone's doing it.
That would have been... That's like heaven, though, isn't it? The thought being able to give your boss the Doomsday Device.
I feel like when you go out on a Friday night after work, you usually really don't want your boss to go. You want to lay your hair down and be able to chat shit. But if you work for WWE... You definitely want Vince McMahon to come out on a Friday night.
Absolutely. Just so you could give him a clothesline.
All right, boys. I've got myself a new quad. I want to test it out.
Just to satiate his finisher fetish.
So does Vince McMahon taking bumps in a strip club stay on our Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, I've never heard it before. It's just too
that
crazy.
That's an amazing story. I've never heard that before either. That's great.
Well, I have got better, lads. I have got better. That was just the tip of the iceberg. So, Fowl, what is your third story on your Mount Rushmore?
All right. So this story is fantastic, and I just found it out during the research for this year. And it's a story about James Storm and Rhino. So during this... James Storm and Rhino were at the time kind of riding down the roads together, and James Storm's brother is allegedly a cop, and he lives in Tennessee. So when they were riding down the road at one point, James Storm calls his brother and says, hey, you know, I'm coming down and I want to run a little bit of a prank on Rhino. So he goes up to a certain part of the road, and when he's there, they're stopped by a police car. Police car, of course, being James Storm's brother, but Rhino doesn't know this. So they go over to the car, and Rhino has historically had trouble with substance abuse and stuff, so he wasn't too happy about doing a field sobriety test. So he's doing a field sobriety test. He's getting a little bit kind of anxious about the whole thing. And this officer, James Storm's brother, arrests Rhino, puts one handcuff on him, is going to put the other one on. As he's putting the other handcuff on, James Storm goes over and pretends to punch the cop in the face. His brother plays along and just falls flat on the ground, pretending to be knocked out. Then, and this it doesn't end. At that point, Rhino has one handcuff on and he's a bit like, damn, what are we going to do? James Storm then says, you know what? No one will ever know. Let's rip out the camera and run. As he's going to do that, Rhino says, no, you're crazy, and starts to run away. As he's running away, they stop him and they're like, it's okay, it's my brother. But apparently Rhino was going to run to freedom and call the cops, thought that James Storm had gone crazy. And like, just this vision of Rhino going like, they're never going to believe it's not the wrestler. And he just runs. I've got one handcuff on it. Just runs. Just gores through the forest.
Wow. That's not even the only story I had about Rhino running away.
Like, I was actually, there was a, it was Rhino was fired from the WWE after throwing a plant pot back during, like, 2003, 2004. And I was actually at that Raw show, like, in the hotel when Rhino got fired. And wow. Some man was just looking for, like, an excuse. And apparently that was I wasn't there for it. I found about this after the fact, but I remember knowing I was like, I was there. If I was there when Rhino got fired, I would have been very sad at that age. But Rhino gets into some hijinks he does, but just this, I just have this vision of Rhino just panicking and like just a panicking wild animal just chased off like a deer on the highway. So that's my Rhino James Storm.
Paul, can you top Rhino running off like a little girl?
I don't know if I can. But again, I've picked a story that I've never heard before. I couldn't believe it when I was reading it. And just thank God Twitter didn't exist when these wrestlers were about, because they would be cancelled. So this is not quite on the road. They've Perry Saturn and Raven had finished their road trip and booked themselves into a hotel. And they were quite bored because, you know, the boys these days, they take their PlayStations and stuff now, don't they? And have Street Fighter tournaments and all that. But they didn't do that back in the 90s, did they? So what Raven and Perry Saturn did to pass the time was to order a couple of strippers, again, wrestlers' best friends, clearly, and go out into the hallway of the hotel and set up a slip and slide to play with the strippers on. But the strippers didn't get to go on slip and slide. They had to go at the bottom, naked, legs akimbo. And as Perry Saturn attached a dildo to his forehead, and slip and slid to play the most bizarre game of pin the tail on the donkey. It might have ever been.
Oh my good lord. Oh my good lord. What? Where did you find that story?
And apparently it wasn't slidey enough, so then they set off the fire extinguisher to make the slip and slide more foamy, and that's when they got kicked out of the hotel, all four of them.
I like that it's when they started messing with the things that people need to live with. That's they were like, it's fine, it's the rest, the slip and slide, it's absolutely fine. And it's fine. They touched exactly. The fire extinguisher, get the hell out of our hotel. We didn't even let Motley Crue touch the sprinklers. What the hell, who the hell do you think you are?
No, sellotape to his head. Wow. That's it. That is a great story. I have never, in all my research, I've never come across that story. So even if you've imagined that, Paul, it can stay on this list. That is a brilliant story.
Again, that one might have been a dream, like your Vince McMahon one.
When is it going to be on the network? I'm sure that the footage is probably being bought up by the Taylor Lumber.
I hope they mention it when they do a Perry Saturn retrospective.
I just hope we got escorted from the building still with the appended item stuck to his head.
Yeah, definitely. He had to. So, Fowl, round your Mount Rushmore off, what's the last story on your Mount Rushmore?
Well, I'm going to go for it. It's the story. It's the story that kind of really got me into dirt sheets and stuff when I was a kid as well. And it is, and I'm taking part of this from thesun.co.uk.
Such a reliable source.
Like, because I found that they're quite impartial in their coverage sometimes. But yeah, this is The Sun, and it is the plane ride from hell. So during the very, very, very brief time that Scott Hall was in the WWE and the NWO was a thing in the WWE, they had a tour, and a lot of wrestlers that had just come in from WCW all shared a plane ride on the way back from the UK. During that plane ride, several hilarious things happened, which is why it's like the Uber story. It's Unicron. This is Unicron. Yeah. And I like, and it's just, it's everything. It's like when I tell people about Wrestling Road stories, like I tell part of this story and I'm like, if you want to find out more, go to your local library. But like, so first of all, during this absolutely amazing, in my mind, like event, there were several events, and I won't put them in chronological order, but one of them was that Kurt Hennig was back again, classic Hennig. Kurt Hennig and Brock Lesnar decided they were going to have a shoot wrestle fight on a plane that is just, you know, a private jet, which is just happens to be in the air. I think it wasn't private. I think that was the whole point. But either way, it doesn't matter. Like part of this it was that they were wrestling towards the emergency exit. So they wrestled specifically towards the emergency exit, and Brock Lesnar, Kurt Hennig did not want to lose face. So both of them just continued to wrestle. There was another event because obviously the Click were now knocking about. We had some shenanigans with ponytails. JR was not happy at all, and he reported all of this back when he got back. Like, this was classic HR maneuver. Like, respect your JR. Yeah, but you know, like, if you sat on that plane and been like, oh, Vince could be so pissed when I get back. Like, last time he didn't snitch, he got fired. Like, I was on the panel with Flair.
It's Vince just pissed Flair. He wasn't on the plane.
Exactly. can I go to the UK with them? No, you cannot go on the plane ride back with them. Oh, shook. You did what? And then, we also had Ric Flair, of course. It wasn't prime Flair. This was now Flair. This was more Donica than prime rib. Ric Flair was exposing himself to flight attendants left, right, and center, literally as he spun his dick around in several like circles, and helicoptering is the term that I learned from this article. I didn't know it existed, and I remember specifically knowing what helicoptering is because it was in the complaint against Ric Flair from this flight.
He was in his robe as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, just his robe and slippies. This is robe and slippies, nothing else.
Did he board the plane in his Ric Flair robe?
No. It speeds up my security time, baby. He came fully dressed. He went into the bathroom and then came out naked, but the robe, and then he got his dick around. Yeah, so many other things. Yeah, the ponytail was X-Pac chopped it off. Scott Hall was just very drunk and he was being quite belligerent. Afterwards when they all came back, pretty much everyone got fired. And Scott Hall obviously did have an issue at the time, and this is pretty much like, well, I sent you to Europe as the last bit of your trust, and you have absolutely taken it away from me, and he was gone. But yeah, he did show up in TNA not that long after, but that is like the Unicron story of all, and there's so much more to it because there's so many more like accounts. There's a really good version of it on the network where they animate it, and it's absolutely fantastic. And I saw it the other day, and I was like, God damn, this is what I pay my subscription for. Like, this
that's worth the $9.99.
Yes, yeah.
Apparently, Michael Hayes nearly pissed on Linda McMahon on the plane as well.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's like an onion. There's just so much more. Like, there's so much more to it.
How do you nearly piss on someone?
Wow.
The sunset flip that never ends. It's like,
It had to go on someone's Mount Rushmore. That it's the quintessential wrestling road story, and the plane ride from hell.
Yeah, I was going to go for it, but I had a feeling from his intro, Fowl wanted to knock that one out of the park, and I really didn't want to bring Raven and Perry Saturn into it, but I had to go there.
And they came in through the back door. It's totally fine. I understand. I didn't know about them. They slipped on through. They slid on through. It's great.
Well, to potentially round ours off, I'm going to go with, I'm so tempted with three different ones, but I'm going to go with Randy Savage ruins happy moment in a Waffle House.
Ooh, I don't know this one either.
Mm. Okie dokie. A late night on a Wednesday in the 1970s, Savage and Martel had just finished working a Nashville house show and went to the local Waffle House to get some food. The waitress came over, started taking Savage's order, giving order to her. A guy walks in the door and shouts, "I've gotten married." Savage was not happy that his order was interrupted and shouted back to the guy, "Who gives a fuck?" So this newlywed comes over to Savage and asks him what he said, for Savage to slowly repeat, "Who gives a fuck?"
We need it in the voice, Darren. Go on.
I can't do a good Savage. I can do a, "Oh yeah, dig it," but I can't do the rest. I couldn't do it good.
But it's like, "Oh yeah, who gives a fuck?" Like, I mean,
so the groom walks directly up to where Savage was sat and says, "Have you got a problem?" To which Savage stood up and said, "I don't know. Do we have a problem?" So a scuffle ensued, and this newlywed pulls a knife on Randy Savage. So Savage scrambled behind the counter of the diner for a knife of his own, and all he could find was a butter knife. So the cops arrive, and Savage claimed that the newlywed was the person who instigated, whereas the groom, the staff, and all the other customers snitched on Randy Savage and said that it was his fault that the fight started.
JR was there, was he?
Yeah, <stinking. laughs>
in the back taking notes. Yeah. Next up, on the done grilling JR, and then Randy Savage went into a diner.
So the two cops attempted to arrest Randy Savage, but Savage did not want to be arrested, so he started resisting. They were unable to handcuff him properly, so one of the cops pulled out his pepper spray. But Savage, being the wrestler that he is, he telegraphed that pepper spray and ducked it like a Hogan clothesline. And the stream of hot, peppery liquid went directly into the eyes of the other police officer.
Classic.
So the remaining copper pulled out his billy club to try and subdue Randy, which was met with the same kind of attempts to resist by Mr. Savage. Randy looked around for a weapon, noticed the copper on the floor screaming in pain because he had mace in his eyes. So he grabs that copper's billy club and started to defend himself with it. Apparently, to Macho's credit, he didn't actually use the club against the officer, just as a way to shield getting clobbered with the billy club himself. Outside the diner, more cops arrived, and upon seeing an angry Randy Savage kicking off, they unleashed a German Shepherd into the building.
Became a kennel from hell. Kennel from health match.
Well, the dog ran directly for Savage, who swiftly booted the dog, which was a big mistake because that dog bit Savage directly on the arse. This is when Savage realised he'd probably lost his fart, gave up and was arrested, and he actually was charged with resisting arrest, assault on the officer, assault on the dog, assault on the groom and disturbing the peace. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah, don't go to a Waffle House with Randy Savage because you're probably going to watch him kick the shit out of a dog.
I finally know who kicked the Jerky Boy's dog now. Finally know. It was Randy Savage.
So, Paul, does that story stay on our Mount Rushmore?
It stays on. That was hysterical. That was brilliant. So, speaking of pepper spray, I read one about Meng, Haku.
I could have done a list of his. I could have just done a full list of Meng's. That guy is absolutely mental.
Whole list of his own. But apparently he got tried to be apprehended with pepper spray and he just breathed it in like a superhero. Just inhaled it and it had no effect.
Haku is more god than man. Like I look at Tamatonga and I'm just like, oh my god, you do not want to mess with the Tongans because you can mess it with Haku like every single time. Like that's the ending of a lot of those stories, and then they realize they messed with Haku. Like that's like the ending of a lot of those stories, and then it's like, oh, like if you've seen the video that they did, that I think it was What Culture did, and they did this video with Adam Cleary, and he's like interviewing Haku, and he's just like, oh. So what's the top 10? Stay here and tell me exactly what it is. And the camera stays like uncomfortably long on them. And I'm like, he's basically going to murder him until they yell cut.
Well, the What Culture did a bit where they went to the Bullet Club block party and they didn't fill Haku in on the fact that they were filming, and he legitimately went mental and he was going to kill Simon Miller.
Yeah, I didn't realise that was legit. Oh, no way.
Right. The honourable mentions I had Jim Cornette's Dairy Queen rant, which there's actually a video of if you want to look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I watched that this afternoon. That was thoroughly entertaining.
Basically, Dairy Queen put an order in. The staff didn't believe that the order was legitimate, so they didn't start making the food. And Jim Cornette got pretty pissed off calling people bitches and cunts and said, if we didn't, why would we order the fucking food if we didn't want it? We're not here to fuck around. Yeah, he went mental.
Got out of the car.
Yeah. And then the other one I had was Sid Vicious versus Arn Anderson in Blackburn. After a WCW event in Blackburn, a few wrestlers were at the bar, and Arn Anderson was complaining about WCW not being able to draw, kept comparing everything to WWF. So a few of the wrestlers were getting a bit leery about it, and Sid chirped up saying, we're only struggling because people like you and Ric Flair won't get the fuck out of the way and let the young talent come through. Beer balls started getting thrown. Sid retreated to his room, but was on the way, was threatened with another beer bottle. So Sid went back to his room, ate part of a sandwich, broke a chair, took the leg, went to cave Arn Anderson's head in with the leg. When Arn wouldn't come out of his bedroom, out of his hotel room, Sid threw the chair leg down the corridor and started to walk back to his own room. When Arn appeared with some scissors, who he then proceeded to stab Sid with said scissors in the stomach. Sid eventually had hold of these scissors and stabbed Arn Anderson 20 times with these scissors. Sid ended up getting fired by Eric Bischoff, and it took two Cold Scorpio to wrestle him apart. Yep, so basically Sid tried to commit murder in Blackburn. To be fair, if I'd been to Blackburn, I'd probably want to try and commit murder too.
Yeah, what I love is that even in real life, Arn Anderson, yeah, didn't sell that flashy shit. Like, he didn't care, man. He's stabbing him with scissors. Oh, no, I don't believe in this stuff, yeah. It should be fist to the face. Like, that's what I love, like, about that story, is he survived because he's Arn Anderson. Like, anyone else would have been stabbed, like, that many times. It's a great story, and I didn't mean to cut you off there to start with, but, you know.
No,
Scissor jokes.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
So, Fowl, what we need from you now is to pick the topic for a future guest. Paul will give you a choice, and then I will give you a choice, and you just pick which one you feel that you want to pick. So, Paul, what is your choice?
Animals.
Animals.
Can you expand?
Animals.
Can you make the animals bigger?
I want the Mount Rushmore of animals in wrestling.
That's a pretty interesting one. Well, seeing as we did the Mount Rushmores, the draft picks earlier, and you two both went with Canadian wrestlers as your first pick, I felt that we should go with the Mount Rushmore of wrestlers from Canada.
Ah, you see, I hear Canada, yeah. I think maple syrup. I think Canadian bacon. But then I think of the animals, yeah. What about the animals? And, like, I'm really interested in the animal situation because, like, just off the top of my head, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is Mantor an animal or is he human? I don't know. Like, what is the Yeti? What is the Yeti? Yeah. Like I'm just spitballing here. But, and then I think of Canadian wrestlers and I think of Lance Storm just for a second. And then I want to be serious about animals for a second. So I'm going to go with animals. I'm so sorry, Max, but the animals tipped it to the post.
I should have known with the fact that it's Fowl original on here.
I've got to rip my bird, brethren.
Buttering up the electorate there, Paul.
Yeah.
Buttering up the electorate.
I'm learning from the best.
You've got my ornithological bone all tingling. That's what you did.
So, Fowl, this has been absolutely amazing. Let all the listeners know where they can get hold of you and your wrestling content.
Yeah. So, thank you so much. Thank you so much for letting me join the show. It's been really, really good, man. It's been a long, long time. But I am Fowl Original, and you can catch me on youtube.com/FowlOriginalWrestling every Sunday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. UK time. You can also find me on podcast stuff in an audio form. You can find that over at link.tr.ee/FowlOriginal, and also Remote Wrestling, where we delve into what else wrestles with your remote, but mainly on Twitter, like @Fowl_Original. And just all over the shop. But thank you so much, guys. Dude, this was so fun.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah,
you're the perfect
it's been our
guest
pleasure.
for this subject.
Definitely. Oh, as soon as Paul and I said that you were on, and we didn't even give this option out. We came up with this ourselves because we knew that you would come up with some great picks, and you definitely did not let us down.
Well, you know what, you guys, and as I said, this show is such a great concept. It's so different, and it's so cool to see you guys on ChairShot and doing it. It's awesome. And so, yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, just keep on. If you're listening to this show, then these guys are very authentic, the real deal, and I love them both. And, you know, just put them over so much because they are so good. And, like, keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, honestly, it's words like that that make us just want to keep doing it. Absolutely. Just the love and support we've been getting. Paul, time for that go home, Mr. Tolly.
I can't. I've got a lump in my throat.
It's an animal cracker. It's an animal cracker. Just put some milk down there.
It's a frog. He's got a frog in his throat.
Thank you. Really, really appreciate that, Fowl. That's really kind of you to say. And I can't wait to have you on again soon. I think we should do this subject again. I think we should all get around back together and pick
a round two.
12 more stories to share.
I'd definitely be down for that. There are so many more. We just touched the tip. We just touched the tip today.
Definitely. Just the tip.
Tip of the just cucumber.
Yeah, exactly.
Tip of the dildo.
Tip of the slippery raven dildo.
Tip of the billy club.
Right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. This is the week. We love you getting involved. We love you following us on Twitter and letting us know what you think of the Mount Rushmore. And this is the one you need to get involved on because, Magsy, Fowl, and myself, we all shared stories the others hadn't heard before. There must be hundreds out there that you know that we didn't share on this episode and we don't know ourselves. And I just want to hear them because they are hilarious. You can follow us at Badlands Pod. He's at Dej Kirkby and I am at Rain Counter. And after this episode, I don't know how much longer we're going to be at Chair Shot Radio, but we currently are. It is still our home at the moment. And as it's our home, we've got a few house rules. We've got one house rule, and that is if you're making a Mount Rushmore of your own, sometimes you've got to follow your heart. Sometimes you got to follow your gut, but you should always, always use your head.
Nailed it!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.